this week's parasha is Parashat Lech Lecha. Now you may very well never have looked at the first pasuk in Parashat Lech Lecha the way we're going to look at it today. We're going to see that the whole shiur is going to be an attempt to answer one question and one question alone. The first pasuk of the Seder is Vayomer Hashem El Avram, God said to Avram, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Umimoladecha Umibeit Avicha El Haaretz Asher Arecha. I'm reading the pasuk from my Kumash. I told you already that you have to have Kumash. We have to train you to have your own Kumash. But the first pasuk, who doesn't know the first pasuk is Parashat Lech Lecha? And God said to Avram, go unto yourself from your land, your birthplace, and your father's house to the land that I will show you, El Haaretz Asher Aracha, to the land that I will show you. Here, of course, is the beginning of one of the greatest journeys in all of history. A journey that great, of course, that you are aware that it took other people much less time, but it took Avraham Avinu 4,000 years to get onto the front cover of Time magazine. In other words, Avraham Avinu is in. You haven't seen the Time magazine?
No.
Well, I have to tell you and share it. I teach Time magazine. That's what I'm here for.
Good thing you brought it.
Abraham. Don't look at the picture, don't think that's what it looked like, but Avraham Avinu made it onto the cover of Time magazine. I don't know, after Saddam Hussein and after a number of others. But this was September 30th.
Oh, that's a long time.
What does it say underneath? Muslims, Christians, and Jews all claim him as their father. A new book explores whether he could be a peacemaker among the three religions. The article is not to be taken terribly seriously, but it seems that one of the fads now is that there are Abrahamic societies and groups who find Abraham as the common denominator of all the major religions. He is respected by all, he is revered by all. So Avraham Avinu finally met. But we're going to take a closer look at Avraham Avinu. What really should be surprising about the first pasuk is one big question. You know, we started learning this when we were children, and we continued to learn it, and what should really shock us, surprise us, and shake us, Vayomer Hashem El Avram, God said to Avram, why? Who is he? What do we know about him? We haven't heard a thing about him. All we learned at the end of Parshat Darach is that there was a fellow, Terach, who had three sons, and they started out on some kind of a journey, and Terach died. End of Parshat Darach. And then we come to this amazing passage by Yomar Hashem El Avram. God says to Avram, God reveals himself and tells him, go on a journey even further. Who is he? At least in Parashat Noach, we were told. Eileh told of Noach. These are the generations of Noach. Noach, Ish, Tzadik, Tamim, Hayav, Dohotav. The pasuk introduces him. Torah tells us that he was a righteous man in a generation that had become corrupt and evil. We have absolutely no idea why God appears to Avram. And everything we do know, and we're going to see that there's a great deal of information that we have about Avram. We have a tremendous amount of information in the Midrash, and we're going to see it in the most remarkable way in which the Rambam describes Avraham Avinu. It would seem as though there are two Avrams. There's the sort of unknown or hidden Avraham until the beginning of Parashat Lech Lecha, and then all of a sudden, in one single instant of time, Avram is propelled onto the world stage, and he's going to remain there throughout all of time. So, let's call him Avram 1 and Avram 2. Avram 1 is the one who precedes Parashat Noach. Parashat Lech Lecha, whatever we know about him, we know as a result of Midrashim, and as I said, we're going to see the Rambam's description. And then Avram 2 is the one who appears to us at the beginning of Parashat Lech Lecha. Avram 2 is clearly revealed. We know everything that takes place. Avram 1 seems to be in concealment someplace. Why is it concealed? I think, or at least I hope, that by the time we finish this shiur, there will be 5 answers to the question. Because I can't wait till I get to the answer that I want to get. There can be a few other good ones on the way, but I like mine. What do we know about Avram? Side 1. The Rambam has an exceptional description of Avram. We're going to try and go through and see what the Rambam says. The Rambam gives us a history of the world up until the time of Avram, and when Avram finally appears on the world stage. Bimei Enosh tov bnei ha'adam ta'u gedola. In the days of Enosh, men made a terrible mistake. The men who made a terrible mistake in the days of Enosh, and who's Enosh? Enosh, of course, is the grandson of Adam. Adam, Shem, Enosh. We made Enosh. In the days of Enosh, Tov Anoshim, Tov Bnei Adam, men made Tov to the Lord great mistake. And the wisdom of the people of that generation was lost. They became ignorant. Ignorance began to seep in. Ve'enosh atzma min ha'toyim hayah. Enosh himself was one of those who made a mistake. Ve'zu hayta ta'utam. And this was their mistake. Amun, they said, ho'il ve'elokim barako, having since God created stars, eilu these stars, ve'kal galim, and all sorts of planets, la'anhig et ha'olam, in order to keep the world moving. God placed them up in the heavens. God gives them places of honor in his universe. The sun, the stars, the moon, the planets. They are the ones who serve and do his bidding. They are worthy. They deserve. That they should be praised and exalted. V'lachlok lahem kavod, and give honor to them. This side. V'zeh ratzon hakel, and you know they convince themselves. This is God's will. God wants us to give honor to those great servants of His. To make great and honor the ones that he made great and honored. Just like a king wants that we should give honor to those servants who stand before him. That's, if you really respect the king, then you respect those who are his closest advisors and associates. When they began to think about this, they began to build temples to the stars, and to bring sacrifices, and to praise and exalt them with words.
Now you'll notice that there are numbers on the right-hand side. So that if anybody gets lost, we can always get you back the way you belong. I'm on line number 10. They began to bow down to these people, because they thought this way they will achieve God's goodwill. That was the main idea of idolatry. Those who worship the idols and know what it's all about, that's what they said. They never said that there is no God who created the world. Of course there's a one God who created the world. But what he wants of us is, but he certainly is happy in the event that those who serve God should also be honored by man. But the first generations of idolaters had not simply ruled out the existence of God. They knew it. They knew it from Adam, from Shem, from Enosh. But they thought, if you'll give respect to the secretary of the president of the corporation, the president of the corporation is certainly going to be happy with it. Hushi Yirmiyahu Omer, this is what Yirmiyahu said, Mi lo yirachom melech hagoyim. Who is there that did not fear you? Kilchol yatov, to you belongs fear. There is none like you amongst all of the nations. But there's one mistake that they made. Musa Havolin Eitzu. When they turn idols of wood into something to be respected as well, that's foolishness. Chloma. Yirmiyahu says, everybody knows that you alone are God. Their mistake and their foolishness, that this is your will. You want us to give honor to the sun, the stars, and the planets. Halacha bet in the Rambam. Even if all we will have accomplished today is the Rambam, and then Mike Sharp. That will be okay. As time passed, there are now a few generations of idolaters. The latter generations already were raised from childhood to go to a temple of the sun or a temple of the moon. They already didn't know that there is a one God who created it all. After time passed, When there's something that catches on taking place in the world, there's always somebody that's going to profit by it. And there will be false prophets. Here it is. They see that people are into this idolatry stuff. So there were people, false prophets, and said, God commanded and said to them, serve that star, or serve all the stars, bring sacrifices to him, and bring such and such libations. He commanded that you should make a temple and make such a form, so all the people should bow down to him, and women, children, and other people in the land. And then this false prophet is going to tell them of some kind of a form and a shape that he made up. It's all made up. He makes it all up. When you begin to see that people are like putty in your hand, it's a tremendous feeling of power. There's always somebody who's going to jump on his bandwagon. Somebody who's going to use it for his own benefit and gain. And then they went on to to tell the Vitrinov that a Zulaso, make all sorts of forms in all of their temples, the Tahatayulanot, and under the trees, and on the top of the hills, and on the mountains. And they would gather there and they would bow down, and they would tell people, if you worship this idol, it's going to be good for this, and if you worship that idol, it's going to be good for something else. And that we should serve and fear the idol. And their priests would say to them that if you do this kind of service, you might have great success, you do such and such, you might have great success. Then a later stage was already where prophets would say, the star told me. The sun told me. And there's a world out there. And they find it. Line 30, the end. And this began to spread throughout the whole world. Simply, it caught on throughout the world. It took a few centuries, but it caught on, and people began this form of idolatry. The king shor for yomim, nishtaka Hashem hanichbot v'hanodra mipi kol hayikom umitatam. The name of the Creator, the Holy One, the Great One, was forgotten from all of humanity. The Lo Hikiru, they just didn't know who was. The Ninsu Kolamaras, all of the people, women, children, Enam, all that they knew was this wooden form or this statue of stone. All they knew were the temples in which way they were educated from their childhood to bow down and to swear by them. And here already there was a whole hierarchy, you know, a whole Moatzat Datit of Avodah Zarah, and in every place there are people making salaries from it, which of course makes certain that it's going to remain into eternity. I think somebody once asked Chaim Weizmann in 1912 or 1913, will the Zionist movement last? So Chaim Weizmann said, there are seven people receiving salary. It's going to last. He was right. There's an interest in keeping it going. The Avodah Zarah became a major industry. Major industry just keeps going. And then, two lines further, Sur Ha'olamim, the eternal rock, Lo Hoya Shum Adam Shahida Makido, nobody knew him, Velo Yodo, Elo Yechidim Ba'olam. There were only a few people left on the face of this earth who knew God. Chanoch, Metushalach, Noah, Shem, and Eva, five people. And this is how the world kept moving. Ad shenolad amudo shalolam, until the pillar of the world was born. Vehu Avraham Avinu. The words of the Rambam are so absolutely true. He wrote it 1,000 years ago. We're talking about 4,000 years since. Avraham Avinu, there's no question about it. The pillar of the world, even without Time magazine, it's quite clear that what Avraham accomplished was a revolution of such proportions that it really is at the foundation of all of society up until today. Maybe he's going to give us a little bit of a description of Avraham Avinu. Kivon shenigmal eitan zeh. When this mighty one, he is referred to in a number of places as Eitan, mighty. Kivon shenigmal Eitan said when he was weaned, this mighty one, we're talking when he's just a child, hitchil shotei v'dato, his mind began to move in all sorts of directions. V'hu kadam, he's still a child. V'hitchil hashov v'yom v'alayla, he began to think day and night, v'hoyotomei, and he wondered, How does the whole universe move? And it's not going to move it. How does it go? Where did it come from? We're talking, he's beginning ponder and meditate about questions that nobody has asked in hundreds of years. A whole world has simply forgotten the existence of God. And here is this young lad, someplace out there in Choron, or Kazdin, according to the Ramban, even further out in Mesopotamia. And these questions begin to bother him. Because he says, who turns everything? It can turn itself. The Rambam says, he didn't have a teacher. There was nobody who told him anything. Everything that he's going to achieve is going to be the result of his own brilliance, his absolute genius. El Mushka or Kazdim, he was submerged in Ur Kazdim, Bein Ode, Avivizoga, Hatipshin amongst the fools, the idolaters. Vo'ovid, Vinimoy, Vecholom, Ode, Avivizoga. His father and his mother and all of the people are idolaters. Who obeyed him, I am? And he's serving idols with them. Vilibo, Vishote, Dumevin. He's serving idols, but at the same time, he's having Amuna problems. His mind is troubling him. He can't really believe that this is the truth. There's something wrong. We're talking about an unbelievable intellectual leap that is going to be made by our Lord Eden. To the point, as the Rambam will describe, that he becomes so certain that everybody's wrong and he's right, that he goes out to teach the world what he knows to be the truth. It takes awesome strength. It takes brilliance and genius that most probably the world has not seen since Avraham Avinu, to defy the whole world. With what? There's an invisible God someplace who created it all. And this is the schayra that he's going to start selling to people throughout the world. V'livo shelter who made an archer, he seek derech ha'emet until he achieved the way of truth, behaving kafat tzedek, and he knew righteousness, mit v'unato ha'nechona, the Rama makes it very clear. It's his great ability to understand. We're talking about a genius. And he knew, there is one God, the Humani Kakaogal, he is the one who moves everything in the universe. Next column, he created everything, there is no other God in all of existence except for him. And he knew that the whole world was making a mistake. Well, that takes not only brilliance, it takes awesome and frightening courage. It's so much easier to go along with the whole world. It's not as though he finds people who say, that's pretty good. No! He defies a whole world. The Dolash Gorman was told, so he even figured out what caused the mistake. He figured out everything. Why they're worshipping these idols, and why they had forgotten that there was original, that they had known that there was a creator. He was 40 years old when he came to that conclusion. According to Chazal, and even the Rambam is alluding to it, when the Rambam said that his questions began after he was weaned. He's 2.5, 3 years old when he was that question. We're talking about 37 years of intellectual torment. We're talking about a frightening journey of 37 years. And it hasn't really begun yet. Part one of the journey is over when he, about the time he becomes 40, and he is convinced that he knows the truth. Kivon Shehibit, once he recognized the Yoda, he began to respond to the people of Urkazim. And he would engage them in dialogue and in debate. And he would tell them, Ein zu derech ha'emet shatem hochem ba, you're not going to the path of truth. V'shibet ha'tzlamim. And he broke the idols. We all know that story. We all know the story. So many times we've talked about the Medrash, but the way the Rambam understands the Medrash is very beautiful. We all know the Medrash that his parents had an idol store, and they had to go out one day, so that they left him to be an idol sitter. And while he's idol sitting, he chops up a whole bunch of them, puts the axe into the hand of the biggest idol, and then when they come home, they see a Chorvin. And then I can imagine Terah saying, I have the pain from God and Himmel, look what happened to all my idols over here. And Avram tells them, well, there was a fight between the idols, and they beat each other up, and the biggest one, he's the one who has the axes, and he did it all. So the Rambam understood, of course, that this is a very nice story to tell children in Gan. But what our rabbis were telling us was that the one who intellectually shatters the idols of his time is Avram. I don't think that Avram would go ahead and break his parents' idols, you know. It's their money, he can't do it, he must only ask a shayla, or passing himself. But what we're talking about is that intellectually, he is the one who shatters the idols of his time. Revolutionaries are not necessarily loved. Revolutionaries are the ones who bring about extreme reactions. And that's what happened. Shibra Tzvonim Hidhilam Bi'al Ha'am Shein Roy La'od El Ha'i Ha'olam. And he began to tell people that it's not correct for them to serve anybody except the God of the world. V'lo Ra'u Yishtach Ha'od And to him you should bow down. U'l-Hakriv U'l-Hasech Bring sacrifices and libations. K'dei Sh'akiru Kol Ha'bruim Ha'bruim So that everybody's going to come to this world should know who he is. And then he went on to tell them that they should destroy and shatter all of the forms so nobody should make a mistake. Like they're making a mistake today. Line 60, Kinesh Gavar Alein Berayotav. When his proofs became strong, Bikesh HaMelech Lahargo, the king wanted to kill him. That's always fascinating to me. I love it. First place, I once said it, when Kalev and Yehoshua dispute the Meraglim say, we can't go. Yehoshua and Kalev say, Olo Nala, we can go and we're just going to succeed. The Pasuk says the people wanted to stone them. Why did the people, I asked the question, why do people want to stone Yehoshua and Kalev? There are 10 Miraculum who say we can't do it. There are 2 who say we can. You know what you should do? Don't pay any attention to them. They may be a noisy and rowdy minority, but so what? What are you getting so upset with Yehoshua and Kalev? Why do you want to stone them to death? You know why? Because deep in a person's neshama, he knows the truth. But what happens if you don't want to face the truth? What happens if the truth is too painful? What happens if the truth is too frightening? Then you know what you want to do? You want to destroy it. Get the truth out of the way. Here the Rambam writes it so beautifully that as the power of his intellect began to sway people and he was beginning to accomplish great things, Bikish HaMelech Lahargo, the king wanted to kill him. Why does he want to kill him? The whole world's still worshipping idols. So we have a minority. Avram has a few people who are with him. He has a little shtiebel over there in Orkazim someplace. And so what? Let him go. Pay no attention to them. Don't give them any headlines. And they'll just go away. Remember, because there are annoying doubts. Maybe the truth is with our own, and that's frightening, that they don't want to hear. The Nasal Ones, a miracle happened, the Yotzal Choron, and he got out of Urkazim and he went to Choron. And in the Midrashim there are all sorts of opinions as to what the miracle was. You know, that they threw him into a furnace, he came out from the furnace unscathed. There's another Midrash that he says he was imprisoned for 14 years.
and was in the gulag for 14 years in a bore, and somehow or other he was able to, he was removed, he was sent away, he was expelled, all sorts of things happened. The Rambam is going to go on to explain. Finally he comes to Eretz Yisrael, and everything that he achieved, he now passes on to his son Yitzchak, and Yitzchak to Yaakov, and Klal Yisrael with a stash. That's the whole time. The Rambam has really taken us through the history of Avraham before Lech Lecha. The history of Avraham that is not recorded in Torah. And our question is, why is this history not recorded in Torah? So, on the other side, number six, the Rabbeinu Bechaye, and we'll see what he says. He wants to say that the fact is that Torah does allude to it. Yeah. Number six. Horon died. A few psukim before the end of Noach, it says Horon, the brother of Avraham, died in the lifetime of his father Terach in the land of his birth of Ur Kazdim. Hakosav Hazeh Yehudi Al Tanu, this pasuk is telling us Malatosh of Avraham. Once, the moment we mentioned Ur Kazdim is not his birthplace. Ur Kazdim is called Ur Kazdim because that's the place where he was thrown into the furnace. So he says, by virtue of the fact that the Torah tells us that Horon died in Ur Kazdim, this is already alluding to the whole story that we know about in Ur Kazdim, and then we wonder why was Horon put to death, and because he also followed Avraham. This pasuk is telling us about the greatness of Avraham, that he gave himself over to death. He was ready to die. Alunat Hashem Yitzhak, because of his belief in God. And the Rabbeinu Bechaye says, if the Torah would not have said this pasuk, we have a real big question. Our big question would be, how does the Torah say by Yom Hashem al Avram, God said to Avram, and we don't even know who Avram is. We don't know what God is talking to. And he also brings, just at the beginning of Parashat Noach, we're told at least Noach was Ish Tzadik, Talim by Yom Gedorotam. The same thing should have been told to us about Avram. So his answer to the question is, it is said. It's alluded to. It's not really the story. The Ramban has another approach. The Ramban is number one. Someplace we can start in the middle of the Ramban, you see where the line is not that straight. Whoever did it, didn't do it well. Yeah. Because the people of Ur-Kazdim did many evils with him, he suffered terribly because of his belief in God. Mayhem, he fled from them, to go to the land of Canaan. At the end of Parshat Noach, he makes a stop at Choron. Omar lo lazo gam elu, God tells him, leave also Choron. V'lazon kasher chashav mitchilah. The Ramban is saying that when Avraham fled from Ur Kazdim, his intention originally was to go on Aliyah. He wanted to go to Eretz Canaan. But he, if these things happen, you have plans to go on Aliyah, and you end up in another community, and just for one reason or another, the plans don't always work out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says to Lech Lecha, he's telling him, continue the journey that you originally intended to make. Leave also these people. V'lasso kasher chashav b'chlan, do what he thought at first, shetia hudato lo, u'kriya b'nei ha'odah v'shem Hashem b'eretz ha'nitkeret. You want to call people to believe in God, you know what you should do it? Do it in the chosen land. V'sham yigdal shemo, God says there he will make his name great. V'yidvaruch u'bo ha'goyim ha'im, those nations will find great blessing in him.
All the promises that God makes at the beginning of Lech Lecha, Vavorecha, I will bless you, Vakat Moshe Mecha, and I will make your name great. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them, listen, all the suffering that you had in Ur Kazdim, you're not going to have in Eretz Kanaan. I don't know whether God was promising him a rose garden was Nishkanek, but it's not going to be as bad as it was in Ur Kazdim. Shohim with Vazim with Kalam with Ur Kazdim, they shamed him, they embarrassed him, they cursed him, they abused him. The Samuel told the board, they put him into a pit, over Kikshan Ha'esh, or into a furnace. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham at the beginning of the Sefer Sheyivarech Mevarachav, those who bless him will be blessed. V'yayachit Mekalalo. If there's going to be anybody who's going to curse Avraham, you or that man will be cursed. V'zetan HaParsha. This is the meaning of Parsha Lech Lecha. Now watch what he says. Amo HaTorah lo tirtzeh lahadin v'dayot ovdei avodah zarah. Torah doesn't want to tell us the story of everything that preceded before Lech Lecha, because in order to tell us that, you know what the Torah is going to have to do? Tell us really everything that the Rambam said. It has to tell us all about idolatry and how it developed on the face of this earth and what their terrible mistake was. And ein haTorah lo tzkotzo laharif, the Torah simply doesn't want to spend or waste time telling us that. Ein haTorah, aber haTorah lo tirtzeh laharif b'dayot ovdei avodah zarah. The Torah does not want to talk at length about the opinions of idolaters, ulefadesh ho'inyon, and to explain clearly what took place between him and the people of Ur Kazdim in faith. Kashe kotzro b'inyon dor enosh. Just as the Torah really made very little reference to the idea that idolatry began in the period of Enosh. There were just a few words in the pasuk, Oz Huchal Likro B'Shem Hashem. Then there was a desecration of the name of God that took place. So the Ramban's answer, why isn't what I call Avraham one? That whole story from age 3 to 40 and from 40 really to 70 or 75 when he's going to enter Eretz Yisrael, half of his life, less than half of his life is not mentioned in Torah. So we have two answers so far. We have the Rabbeinu Bechanya who seems to be saying that Torah did mention it by virtue of the fact that they mentioned the death of Haran in Ur Kazdim. They are telling us something happened in Ur Kazdim, and you know the story. The Ramban says no. No mention is made of Avraham 1 because the Torah doesn't want to. Because if the Torah would have to tell us the story of Avraham 1, the Torah would have to spend a great deal of effort and time and psukim describing idolatry. That's not Torah's job. Torah doesn't want to do that. There'll be another answer from the Maharal. Not the Maharal that I have on the page here. We're going to see a little bit of this Maharal, which is going to be another answer. From the Maharal we've got in one of his writings, it seems, there's something very beautiful about this. Very beautiful. If the story of Avraham's struggle and finally his great achievement, if that would have been written in Torah, and then it says, Vayomer Hashem or Avraham, Lech Lecha, Me'artzach B'matcho B'Beit Avicha, we might be left with the impression that God appears to him as reward for everything that he suffered until that point. The way the Torah is written now, and the way we should look at the pasuk, that Vayomer Hashem al Avraham is a great surprise. Just make believe you didn't learn all the stories in kindergarten. And you come to the pasuk, Vayomer Hashem al Avraham, and God said to Avraham, Lech Lecha, a dialogue begins between God and Abraham, and there's nothing that precedes it. If there's nothing that precedes it, then it can't be reward for anything. Then what is it? You are Hashem, can we say it in davening every morning, Hashem Bocharta Ba'Avram. God chose Avram. What is the meaning of that for us? That the choice is unconditional. The choice is not predicated on anything. It's not dependent on anything. The choice is God's choice, and he can make that, and it remains into eternity. Which means, therefore, that at the very first pasuk in Lech Lecha Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, I have chosen Klal Yisrael, it's unconditional, it's not dependent on any achievements, and it will never change and never be abrogated. Beautiful idea, wow. Beautiful idea. If we would have had the whole story of Avraham 1, it would have left us with the idea that there is an achievement, an accomplishment, and then comes reward. And then throughout all of history, if there's achievement, then there's accomplishment, and there's goodness, then there's reward. The very fact that we are struck by the Vayom Rashel Avram, like out of the clear blue sky, God speaks to Avram and says, Lech Lecha, and we have absolutely no idea why it was chosen, which means the choice was made unconditionally. And that's God's choice of Klal Yisrael. There is nothing that will ever tear Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu asunder. Nothing can. Beautiful idea. In this second Maharal over here, I'm not going to read the Maharal we have here. I'll just tell you the basic idea. Part one of Abraham's life is the part until he achieves faith. He finally believes. The Maharal says that's not enough. The intellectual achievement is not enough. Do you know what makes all the difference in the world? Strengthening that faith, holding on to that faith. Avraham Avinu's real greatness. You know, we can achieve great things intellectually, but then they simply don't impact upon our lives afterwards. But in Parashat Lech Lecha on Vayei, you know, we're learning over here that this faith of Avraham becomes intensified and stronger from test to test. Maybe we'll just look at a few sentences, the first few sentences in the Maral. Omna mamma oda mitome al harach ha-godol hazeh asher rod hibere utenu bebet rishabos the posit. He asks questions on the Ramban, a different Ramban, but he mentions the Medrash, the posit vayaminu v'ashem, before Oz Yoshe, vayaminu v'ashem v'moshe avdo, they believed in God and Moshe's servant, v'kach omru. This is what our rabbi said, v'schar ha'emuno sheheminu shorto le'emru akach kodesh. Reward for the belief that they believe, the spirit of our Kodesh Rokhut rested upon them. V'omru shido, they said Oz Yoshe. Rav Nechem Yomer, Rav Nechem says, atamotzi shekol mi shebechabu of mitzvah has be'emuno, roi shetishrol of shechina. A person who receives, accepts upon himself one mitzvah with complete and pure faith. Reason enough that the shechina should dwell upon him. The chena kamotze, the schar emuna sheheminu zahu from shiro because of the faith that they had, they were zeichet to say shiro. The chena kamotze, so the Medrash says, you also find shalom yorach avrom et ha'olam hazeh ha'olam haba. Elo the schar emuna shenema v'hem in Hashem. Later on in this sentence, it is saying v'hem in Hashem. From that moment on and further, where his emuna, his faith, has become intensified and powerful. From that moment on, Olam Hazeh and Olam Abba belong to Avraham. So the Maharal is saying, the intellectual achievement alone is not enough. The first part of his life, he finally reaches the stage at which he believes. Not enough. The real belief starts from Lech Lecha, when Avraham Avinu is ready to follow the Rebbe Shalom to the ends of the world because
of his faith. So therefore, first part of the story is not told, second part is. Then here I was sitting someplace on Sunday, and I was in a terrible state. I think my wife was shopping someplace. It's a very nice place to shop. I had nothing, but I wasn't shopping for anything. So there's only a place for bored husbands, I imagine. And I hadn't taken a... No, she bought some very nice things. They're very inexpensive. That's what makes it nice. Yeah. I'm sitting there thinking, and I'm thinking, and all of a sudden an idea begins to go through my mind. And I believe that maybe we can put this in as one of the answers. Why the story of our own one, the story of work counseling, the story of struggle. Avram's journey was a very difficult and a painful one. He began to question in his youth, as the Chama described. He began to question the axioms, the strongly held beliefs of his time. As a child, he was troubled, he was bewildered, and he takes a look at all mankind. There are intelligent and bright people out there. How could he even consider to dare break ranks with the ruling power of his day? He would have to alienate his parents, his brothers, everybody around him. And he's not sure. He's not sure that he's right. His thoughts, what's going through his mind, would be a rejection of all that his family for generations had believed in. And what made him so certain that he's right and the whole world is wrong? Is it easy to arrive at a conclusion like that? And when we finally take a certain position in our own lives, does that position remain with us so strong that we don't have questions and doubt ourselves? Maybe other people are as smart or smarter than me. What makes him so certain that he is right that the whole world is wrong? By the way, he might even wonder whether there isn't some small measure of conceit involved in rejecting the whole world. Maybe he just doesn't get it. The problem is, his questions won't go away, so his quest goes on. As he grows older, it causes him torment. We're talking about years. We're talking about decades. Mental anguish. He feels alienated from all the people around him. He feels further and further distance from them. Until, and it most probably took him a lot of thought and consideration, until he makes the first step of engaging somebody who's a friend in a hesitating manner, he begins to tell him, you know, there may be problems with the whole world. I have serious questions. I have grave doubts. Not easy for him to decide that he's going to tell people what's on his mind. And the responses that he gets from his first conversations and dialogues are not at all encouraging. There are those who laugh at him, scorn him, abuse him, then they even worse, those that don't even take him seriously at all. How many times does he change his mind? Rethink. How many times do new questions come up? Maybe I'm not right. How many endless nights does he stay up thinking, meditating, pondering? Then comes the most painful moment of all. And that's the moment of his greatest achievement. He
He arrives at the intellectual decision. He is freed of all of the doubt, the torment, and the mental anguish and pain. A whole new world opens up before him. He is now convinced that there's a first cause, and he's going to share it with the world. But now, he becomes the world's enemy. Internally, in his mind and in his heart, he's become free. He knows the truth. But now, the world doesn't like revolutionaries. The world doesn't like revolutionaries. Least of all, people in power don't like revolutionaries. Now, a new journey, and this is the long journey of suffering, danger, fear for his life. He has placed himself squarely on the other side. The famous Chazal, Avram Ha'ivri, Kol Ha'olam Kulo Mi'Eberecha, For whom he Eber Hashem. The whole world is on one side, and he is on the other side. It's very lonely where Avram stands. He's made some friends, but he's made many, many more enemies. He has admirers and detractors. He finds himself in his 50s and his 60s in the eye of a global storm. There are people who are drawn to him and those who are repelled by him. By some people he's held in awe, revered and feared, and there are others who reject Avram. Nobody in the world is neutral to Avram Avinu. There are those who will go into fire for him, literally, as his brother Haran did. And there are those who will cast him into fire, as Nimrod did. Torah doesn't scribe it. Torah omits it all. You know why? The story of Avram 1 is not told. First of all, because if it would have been told, we could have made the mistake of thinking that this is what the Rebbeinu Shlom wants from us. That we should each struggle and suffer until we achieve the knowledge of God. Number two, it would mean that Avram's great struggle was for naught. The purpose of Avram was that he should achieve the knowledge of God and then give it over to his children for all generations to come. They say it was Newton who said, it's not true. They say that Newton said, if we had been able to see further, it was because we stood on the shoulders of giants. The fact is, it was said 500 years before Newton by the Kav HaKelach, one of the Rishon, where he says that we're able to see because we are nanas al gabei anak. We're a midget on top of the giant. As far as Klal Yisrael is concerned, we haven't seen further than Avram. If we have been able to see, it's because we stand upon the shoulder of a giant. That was the greatness of Avram Avinu. God doesn't want us to go through that struggle. How many people would end the struggle successfully? If not for Avram, millennia could have passed, and we may or may not have achieved the knowledge of God. Does the Rebbeinu want that we should each place ourselves in that situation and go through his whole struggle? There are two parts to Avram. There's a part of Avram that we can emulate, and there's a part of Avram that we dare not even attempt to emulate. We dare not attempt to be like Avram in his struggle. That he did for us. But beginning with Lech Lecha, part Avram 2, what does Avram 2? Avram 2 is the one who listens to the word of God. That we can do, just like he did. Then we can emulate him. Now don't laugh at me. I want to paraphrase. Rashi. You have it over there, number 3. You just watch this. It'll be cute. You can like it. Maybe you won't. I'll read you some of the famous Rashi. Rashi says Torah should have begun with Achodesh HaSelachem, which is the first mitzvah to stand before you slowly. Umatam posak the Bereshit. Why did it begin with the story of creation? Mishum koach masav higid lama. I'm going to paraphrase the Rashi. Lo hoyo tzorech lahatchil et sipur Avraham Avinu ela miur kasdim. The story of Avraham Avinu should have begun with Ur Kasdim. Umatam patach b'lech lecha. Why does Torah begin the story of Avraham with Lech Lecha? Because Koach Masa Hikid Lamo. Do you know what the redemption was? We should see what Avraham does. He follows the word of God, because then we can emulate him. We did not take the chance of attempt to think through things like Avraham Avinu. Koach Masa Hikid Lamo. Do you know what the redemption was telling us? The might of Avraham's actions. He listens. He follows. His faith is that great that he will do what God bids him to do. Koach masav higid la'amo. Lotet lahem. Now it's Columbus will have to hear about Avraham too. Not about Avraham 1. Do not make the mistake of thinking that Avraham 1 is what we are to emulate. That's such a dangerous path. And the chances are, never make it. Never will make it. Ah, but Avraham too? Korach Masov Higid Lahem, Batet Lahem, Nachalat Goyim, to give them an inheritance. And an inheritance, in fact, not only for Klal Yisrael, but an inheritance for all of mankind. All of mankind is able to see, because we've all stood on the shoulders of Avraham. Isn't that my famous Rashi? At the Yamsov, Zekeli van Veho, Elokei Ovi Varvam Medal, this is my God that I will exalt him, the God of my father, and I will raise and uplift him. Famous question that bothers Rashi, what's bothering Rashi? If we are experiencing God ourselves, we saw him, we see him now at the Red Sea. And we are right at the point of saying, Zekeli van Veho, this is my God. Why must it be necessary to say, Elokei Avi, the God of my father, and I will exalt him? I see him. I don't need anything else. The great Rashi. Lo ani tila takedusha. I am not the beginning of his sanctity. Elamur zeket vo medetli kedushato velikuto alai v'yamei avotai. His sanctity and his divinity is something that I have from the days of my father. Do you know why I saw God in the Yom Sof? Because Avraham was my Seder. Because of Avraham we're able to see. We will never be able to retrace the steps of Avraham Avinu. It's beyond our ability, beyond our ken. There is no way. Torah doesn't write that story. Would Torah have written that story, it would have left a mistaken impression that this is what the correction wants. I remember I used to hear this. As a young man, there were parents who had to send their children to public school. You know, he has to grow up together with everybody, and he has to learn to see his religion and his God on his own. They told him, they'll never make it, what are you talking about? And this was for years, I remember, in the 40s and the 50s, I don't remember the 30s. In the 40s and the 50s, there were Jewish parents who felt a parochial school. You know, sending kids to parochial school. They had to live in this society. This society, you have to know, you have to know this, and you have to know that. And you have to know, very. That's not the path. We're not out, as the Vilna Gaon once said, we don't have to show Kunsen that I'm able to live in an alien and a foreign society and still emerge unscathed and unharmed. The chances are, just like what happened to nearly all of them, they didn't emerge
And if they emerged, it was bruised and beaten. Avram won. Chazal tell us about Avram 1. The Chazal describes Avram 1 to us, but Torah doesn't write Avram 1, because Torah does not hold up for us as a model to follow Avram 1. But Avram 2? Matam Pasa. Why did Torah begin with Lech Lecha Mi'artzach Mi'ulatcha? Because Koach Masav. Here we're going to show two and a half sevens, of the deeds of Avram after he has arrived at the great intellectual discovery. In a sense, Avram 1 is Avram discovering God. Avram discovering God. In a certain sense, Avram 2 is God discovering the greatness of Avram. That's what we're supposed to follow. That's what it's supposed to be all about. I'm so happy I had to wait for my wife in that shopping center. There may even be some truth to what I'm saying. Avram from Lech Lecha on further becomes the model for Klal Yisrael for all time. Our knowledge of God, our belief in God, He did that for us. We stand on His shoulders. And that's why we're able to say Zekeli Van Veil, because He's of the Kei Lavi Barabbanan.